Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Let me again welcome you to this very special Sunday as we celebrate the 25th anniversary of our location here as the Meadowview Church of Christ. And I just praise the Lord for all He has done and will continue to do as long as we faithfully serve Him. So let me get started today with just some questions. There are obvious answers to these questions. What do you do when someone in your family has a birthday? Party. You celebrate. What about an anniversary? Yeah, you party, you celebrate, you have a good time. I read about this guy, I hope, guys, that you've never been here before, but you'll see about the story. He was reading his paper early one morning, and his wife came over to him, gave him a hug, and she smiled, and she said, "I bet you don't know what today is, do you?" And she walked away. And he kind of yelled at her a little bit. He said, "Well, of course I know what today is." He had no idea what she was talking about. He was afraid that he would make his wife upset because he didn't remember, because she was very sensitive about special occasions. So he began to think to himself as he was on his way to work, could this be her birthday? That's got to be it. It must be her birthday. So he gets to work. He called the florist, and a bouquet of white roses was sent to his wife. But as the day went on, he began worrying the flowers may not be enough for such an important day. And then maybe he thought, well, I wonder if it's our anniversary. So at lunchtime, he goes down to the jewelry store from his office, picked out a beautiful gold necklace, had it specially delivered to his wife. As he started home from work, he decided maybe that wasn't going to be enough. So he stops by the chocolate shop and he buys this expensive box of chocolates to bring to her just in case. So he pulls into the driveway, and his wife comes running out of the house to greet him. He gets out of the car, and he presents her with a box of chocolates, and she throws her arms around him. She gives him a big kiss, and she says, "Honey, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. This is the very best Groundhog Day I've ever had." Now, I don't think we need to forget birthdays and anniversaries, but I'm not much on celebrating Groundhog Day, although some people do that. But that leads to this question: are there ever times in the church where we should celebrate? Though we should have a party, of course there are. What kind of things do you think we should celebrate? Well, there's things we already celebrate. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We do it on that day in the spring that we call Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. But we also celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which we just did. Every Sunday we do that, and we do it in the way that Jesus asked for us to do it. We celebrate our Lord's birth at Christmas time. We celebrate our salvation, the new additions to the church every year at our annual new member dinner. But is there anything else that we should celebrate? I just want to stop here again, and I've shared this before, but I want to share it again. And that's how much I appreciate our outreach team. Our outreach team is just a great team, and I'm not going to mention all the names because I'll probably forget some, but there's 10 or 12 people that we meet. And man, you talk about good ideas, about different things. Everything we're going to be doing today is a result of the ideas from that outreach team. And I'm very excited about what we're going to be doing today, and we're going to be sharing about that later. So Tyler kind of coordinates that. He runs the outreach team, and all these ideas are just tremendous ideas. Well, today is a very special day as a church here at Meadowview. But as we look at all that God has accomplished over the past 25 years through many, many faithful people, and we're going to do that in just a moment, we have to recognize some things about the past, the present, and the future, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul is addressing from our text in Philippians chapter 3. Now, I've entitled this message, God's Blessings, Past, Present, and Future. We're going to be looking at just three verses as we open God's word. But before we look at those three verses, let's ask for God's blessing, his wisdom, and his understanding as we search through his word. Let's pray. Father, your word has been given to us. It's been passed down from generation to generation for many, many years, and we know it's going to continue to be here until Jesus returns. Lord, help us to never forsake the teachings of your word. And we are so grateful for just a few verses we're going to be concentrating on today as Paul reflects upon his past, his present, and his future. Lord, we're going to reflect on that and how you have blessed us in our past. You continue to bless us now, and you will in our future. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, use me today in a way that would be pleasing to you. And just help me to help all of us to be committed to what's going to be happening, not only now, but also in the future, as we reflect for a little bit on your past blessings. Lord, we love you and thank you. And we just ask, Father, that you give us encouragement today as we just talk about who you are and how you bless us. Thank you. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to get right into the passage, just three verses. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We're going to read it, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. Here's what Paul writes. Not that I've already grasped it all or have already become perfect, but I press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I was even take hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, here in verse 12, Paul is simply stating he realizes he's not there yet. Not when it comes to his maturity and the completeness of his faith. Unfortunately, in churches today, there are too many Christians who believe that they have arrived when it comes to their walk with the Lord. And they no longer feel they need to keep growing in their faith. They no longer read the Bible every day. They no longer show up to church every week. They no longer pray before meals because they just don't need to do that anymore. They have no goals as far as spiritual maturity goes. Now, when I read these three verses, to me, what Paul is saying here is amazing. Because if anybody had the right to claim that he had arrived, it would be the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the books of the New Testament. He helped spread Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. He made an incredible impact in our world. And yet here's Paul. He's at the end of his life. He's in a Roman prison. And he says, I haven't grasped it all yet. Paul could have taken great pride in all that he had already been able to accomplish with God's help. But instead, he's evaluating himself. And he says, God's not through with me yet. Now, and I can say that because of what Paul wrote at the beginning of verse 13. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. Now, it's interesting to me what that word regard means. Sometimes it's translated as count. It's an accounting term meaning to take inventory. So when Paul was taking inventory of his life, he concluded that his work, his mission, was not finished. He still had growing to do. There were more obstacles ahead. He knew that. There were more sermons to preach, more improvements to make, more knowledge to be gained. He had more of God's power to experience, more studies to conduct, more congregations to plant, more souls to be won to the Lord. And I want every single one of us here today to know that God is not through with you, and he's not through with me, and he's not through with this church and what he can do through us and what he will do through us. And that's important for us as a church to remember as we celebrate God's blessings. So yes, we've been blessed in the last 25 years, but we've got a long way to go. And that leads me to the first main point. We are to embrace our past, but move on from it. Now, some of you may be thinking, now wait a minute, Sam, you just read in verse 13 that Paul says we are to be forgetting what lies behind. Yes, Paul says that, so let me explain the context. When Paul said forgetting what lies behind, this doesn't mean to erase our past or to pretend it didn't happen. Rather, it's about accepting our past, learning from our past, and then letting it go. And all of us have a past. We all have experiences that have shaped us and molded us into the person that we are today. Now, some of our experiences have been joyful. Other of our experiences have been painful. But our past is a part of us. It's a part of our identity. It's a part of our story. And it's part of God's story, too. God has been with us every step of our way. He's walked with us through the valleys. He's celebrated with us on the mountaintops. And he has used all of these experiences to shape us and to mold us into the people he wants us to become. Now, we often look at our past with regret. We see the mistakes we've made. We've seen the opportunities we've missed, the wrong turns that we've taken. We can't undo what's been done. We can't change the past. We can't erase our mistakes or our failures, but we can learn from them, and we can grow from them, and we can use them to propel us forward. And I like what one preacher writes, and I don't know who did this. I read this, but it's not mine, but I love what he said. Our past is not a chain that holds us back, but a stepping stone that propels us forward. It's not a prison that confines us, but a teacher that instructs us. Our past is not meant to be a burden that weighs us down, but a foundation that lifts us up. And I like that. Paul understood that he had a past. He had made mistakes. He had made those wrong turns, but he did not let his past define him. He didn't let his past hold him back. Instead, he used his past as a stepping stone to move forward, as a foundation to build upon, and a teacher to learn from. So here's what I want you to understand about what Paul was saying here. Paul knew that we cannot dwell on past mistakes or rest on past successes. But, and here's the point, we are always to remember God's past blessings. So that leads me to the next part of this message. I want to take just a few moments to briefly summarize just a portion of God's blessings over the past 25 years. Now, in order for me to do this, from the time the church moved from 2nd Street to here, that was in 2001, until May of 2004, which was when I had the privilege of beginning here. I'm just beginning my 23rd year of service here, and I praise God for that. So I relied on Ruth's help. I called Ruth two or three times this week and was asking her some things, as well as what others have told me about God's blessings when the 2nd Street Church of Christ moved to this location. So the first thing I want you to understand, Ruth told me in 2001, there were approximately 100 members of the church that moved from 2nd Street to here. In 2026, and I just went through this week, our membership, including the families of those members, is approximately 420, with other people coming on a semi-regular basis. I praise the Lord for that. Now, my records only go back to 2005, but since 2005, there have been 572 baptisms and transfers to this church. Since 2005. I praise God for that. In 2001, the church budget, Ruth told me, was about $75,000. The 2026 church budget is $578,043. That's the budget for this year. That's eight times what it was in 2001. Praise God for his blessings. In 2003, the back addition where the preschool now meets was added to this building. And then in what I believe to be the best full-time hire by our elders, we welcomed a new associate minister here who he told me this week began on November 9th, 2014. And I think you know him as Tyler Watson. Tyler, Rachel, Owen, and Amelia have been tremendous in their commitment to this church. And you have seen all the many, many things that have been added because of their ministry and all the activities and events that the church participates in as far as youth activity goes. And he does a lot of other things here too. So I really appreciate that. Other blessings, in May of 2005, we started our small group ministry. We went to two services in February of 2006. We ran out of room in the old building that's now our teen room. And we were there in two services until we moved here in December of 2015. Our preschool ministry began in 2006. Our Kids Hope USA ministry started in 2007. And Carolyn Slate's here today, and she was the one that called me. I had never heard of Kids Hope USA. And Carolyn was directing the program in Dresden. And she called me and said, hey, you don't believe this. This is a great program. While we were getting ready to start the preschool, I said, give us a year and we'll check it out. And we started and we've been going since 2007. And right now, we have what I believe a completely wonderful, outstanding director of both our preschool ministry and our Kids Hope ministry, and that's Jennifer Hoag, and I appreciate what she does for both of those ministries. In 2007, the elders JW and I began praying about and doing some background discussions with other churches and builders about the possibility of adding on to our existing building. In 2010, we made the decision we're going to build, but not before we paid off the existing debt that we still had for this original building. And in 2010, that debt was $225,000. And I thought to myself, we are a long ways away before we'll be able to start building. That debt was paid off in less than 3 years because of people here who were generous. So in 2014, then, we were able to take a loan from Community Bank of about $1.5 million, and we broke ground in 2014. The building was completed enough in December of 2015 to begin services here, and then we had our dedication service on March 13th, 2016. And that 20-year loan that we got from Community Bank, God paid it off through your giving in 7 years. Now we have plans for another building, but you see them, you see it every time you walk in here. A community life building for our community, because this facility is used all the time by the community. And that's what we want. That's one of the reasons why we built it. God has already provided over $485,000 towards its construction already. And we hope to begin once the building plans are approved, and we hope to submit them to the county sometime next month. Some other additions that God blessed us with as far as our campus is concerned: we have a shelter house built by Bill Harper Jr. We have our garage, which now houses 3 vans, provides some additional storage. We have the expansion of our parking lot, which is now completely blacktopped. God was able to do that. We were blessed with a playground for our preschool, also an additional playground for older children. In 2021, we held a meeting here. Jennifer came to me and told me about a ministry I never heard of, a fast-growing ministry called LifeWise Academy. And so we had a meeting here. We invited some churches. We invited the community. And just to see about what we can do in starting a LifeWise Academy program in the Tri-Valley School District. We started a steering committee, and by 2022, we were able to start LifeWise Academy during school hours, where the Bible is being taught to our children in off-campus sites, and one of those sites is right here at the Meadowview Church of Christ. Elaine Ross has been the director of LifeWise Tri-Valley since its start, and it has continued to grow from the initial 4 churches that were represented on the steering committee to now, she told me, approximately 40 churches that are represented. The staff and the volunteers total over 80 people who are working with LifeWise. Praise God for what he's doing. And I could go on and on and on about many other more blessings from God and ministries that have started or about to be started here. But God is working through his people. And as we look back over these 25 years, all I can say is, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Can you say amen to that? Great things he has done. Well, now it's time to get back to the sermon here. I wanted to do that, but I thought it was important. Main point number 2 from Philippians 3 is this: we ought to reach forward in the present. Paul emphasized the present when he used that phrase in verse 13, "But one thing I do." And this is a powerful declaration of his commitment to live fully in the present, with his eyes fixed on the future goal. He was not a passive waiting for the future. His was a conscious choice to live fully in the here and now. And today it's no different. It's about being present and ready to help, fully aware and fully engaged. And I realize there's going to be challenges today. There always is. There's going to be distractions that will tend to pull us away from our focus. There's going to be doubts and fears that will seek to paralyze us. So I want to continue with what Paul says at the end of verse 13 and the first three words of verse 14. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, already talked about that, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And then he said these three words, I press on. Well, I did a word study on that this week. The Greek word for press on is dioko, and it carries the idea of pursuing or chasing after something with great effort, determination, and perseverance. We're not talking about a casual stroll in the park here. A determined pursuit of a goal. And this same word, by the way, is used in other passages in the New Testament, but it's translated a little bit differently. For example, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, Paul encourages the Corinthians to pursue love. Same word as press on. He said, pursue love. 1 Timothy 6:11, he urges Timothy to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. In each of these situations, that word is used to convey a sense of active, determined pursuit. Also, as I was studying this word, I found that the same root word is sometimes translated as persecution. It's used in a negative sense. For example, we know that before Paul came to the Lord, he was Saul, and one of the things he was doing was persecuting Christians. Listen to his own testimony about this in Acts 22, verse 4. The Bible says this, I persecuted this way to the death. Same root word, persecuted, as press on. Binding and putting both men and women into prisons. So Paul was saying, I was chasing after Christians. I was pursuing them with all my might in a negative way. And of course, as he writes this from a Roman prison to the Philippian church, now he is pursuing, he is chasing after Christ. He is pressing on in what God wants him to be doing. The intensity was the same, but now, praise God, he was going into a different direction as he was chasing after Christ. So living in the present requires us to be mindful about our attitudes and our actions. It's not just about doing things, but about being the kind of people God wants us to be. Pressing on in the present involves a commitment to growth, about constantly learning, growing, striving to be better. It's about not being satisfied with where we are, but always seeking to move forward, to grow closer to God, and to become more like Jesus. So we too need to press on. You may be in hardship, but I want to encourage you, press on. You may be in sickness, grief, or conflict, but press on. You may be in temptation or trial, but press on for the cause of Christ. And then finally, main point number three, we are to strive together toward our future heavenly reward. Verse 14, Paul said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said he had a goal. He was determined to satisfy this goal. His goal was not physical. It was not materialistic. His goal was neither political nor occupational. Although there's nothing inherently wrong with having these secondary goals or objectives, Paul's prize, his goal, was to be home with Jesus around God's throne forever. And Paul was determined to press on toward that goal. He followed Jesus with an unquenchable desire. He was looking forward to the day when the Lord would call him home because he wanted to be with Jesus in heaven forever. He longed to be in a place where there would be no more thorn in his flesh. There would be no more shipwrecks. There would be no more beatings. There would be no more prison cells. There would be no more pain. In the words of C.S. Lewis, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. And I think this quote captures the essence of our future, the realm of better things and greater possibilities. But to reach these better things, to realize these possibilities, we must strive. And the act of striving is not a passive one. It's active. It's dynamic. It's demanding. It requires us to step out of our comfort zones, to push our boundaries, to challenge our limitations. It's a process that demands time and energy and resources. But more than anything, it demands our commitment. Commitment is simply an unwavering resolve, a steadfast determination to never give up, to keep serving regardless of the challenges or obstacles that may come our way. See, our future, it's not just a prize to be won, it's a goal to be pursued. So as we look to the future, I pray that we will have the same determination that those who have gone before us had, that we would also have the same daring faith that this congregation had as the Second Street Church of Christ when they bought this land and they built this building. We've talked about God's blessings, the past, the present, and the future. As we close this part of our celebration, and we still got a lot more to do today, I love what Luke writes. When Paul and his companions had just returned to Antioch following their first missionary journey, Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says this: when they had arrived, talking about Paul and his companions, and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. For 25 years, these doors have been open to the needy, the seeking, the joyful, the hurting. This building has served as a lighthouse in this community. It's been a place where God's grace has been taught and received. It's been a launching pad for many ministries. I believe the best way to celebrate 25 years of open doors is to ensure that they swing open even wider for the next generation. I want to make something as we end perfectly clear right now. Now, we talked and we've been blessed by what this church has been able to do over the last 25 years. But here's the fact. God gets all the glory because if it wasn't for him, this church would not be here. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now we and other churches may be able to draw a crowd, but only our Lord Jesus Christ can build his church. And when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back for this building. It's going to burn. He's coming back for his children, who are his church. We celebrate 25 years as the Meadowview Church of Christ today, but what we are really celebrating is the goodness and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.